Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we're getting an update from Fireweed Zinc, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FWZ and on the OTCQB under the symbol FWEDF. We are chatting with the CEO, Brandon McDonald. Now, it's been a while since we've featured Fireweed on the show. It was back at the beginning of last year when we last got an update. The company is focused at the McMillan Pass project. This hosts the Tom and Jason zinc, lead, and silver deposits. The company did also acquire a couple new projects in Northwest Territories and Yukon this year. Overall, though, Brandon, let's recap last year's work program. I understand it was a little short of 4,000 meters that was drilled at the project. Can you summarize what the goals were and what the results were from that program, please?
Yeah, in 2020, you know, we had some great drilling success at Boundary and discovered Boundary West. So it was, you know, we wanted to follow that up in 2021 with some additional delineation and expansion at Boundary and, you know, get our hooks into this new discovery of Boundary West. And Boundary West turned out to be even more exciting than we thought, you know, that this high-grade massive sulfide zone got even higher grade to depth. And then we found, quite honestly by accident, another high-grade zone sitting stratigraphically above that we hit an intersection there that was just over 10 meters of almost 24% zinc. And that being a, you know, another discovery there at Boundary West last year. So it was a pretty big year for us. And like I said, not a huge amount of meters, but continued to delineate the huge potential at that part of the project.
So the company has a mineral resource and PEA. Both of those were released back in 2018. For this year's program, are you going to be focusing on upgrading either of those, or is it going to continue to follow up on the new discovery, maybe even test some new areas?
Look, this year the intent is to get the data we need to do a new global resource. So that's going to be a refresh on the resources at Tom and Jason, which will have improved. But then also pulling in End Zone and Boundary West, which have never had resources on them. And then that global resource in turn will feed into a new updated PEA. So it's going to be big year in terms of catalysts, in terms of delivering that. You know, we're not going to be doing any wildcatting on new targets this year. Drill meters, although we'll drill twice as much as we did last year, they're pretty precious because every hole has to move the needle on the PEA, right? So really got to focus in the areas where we know we're going to hit and where we know it's going to be a step out or we know it's going to add tons.
Brandon, can you give a little background too, just in who's active in and around this project in Yukon?
Well, you know, it's funny, immediately in our area, the person who is active is us. You know, we originally bought the core of the project from Hud Bay, 54 square kilometers, and then did deals with Newmont, Teck, and three juniors to like take it from 54 square kilometers to 940, basically getting every claim in the region with the exception of the Mactung claims, which were then held by the Northwest Territories government. So we really saw a district thesis there and wanted to own it all. Now to the north by northwest of us, Snowline, who you might know, is doing quite a bit of work and had some success there last year, but they're a good distance from us where they're operating. So really, in the immediate vicinity, it's kind of us.
So, Brandon, what do you think can really move the needle for the company here, either to bring in, say, a strategic investor or attract a major player to, who knows, even buy out this project? What will move the needle for the company?
Well, you would hope that a M&A would move the needle or else you didn't get a very good bid, right? So I'm hoping, I don't think I would accept an offer without a premium. As they say, there's no such thing as a hostile takeover, only a hostile price. So any friendly deal would, of course, presumably involve a premium. You know, in terms of bringing in a strategic investor, that's exactly what we did, right? So, you know, earlier this year, you know, so late last year, we did a quick $5 million flow through raise. And that was really largely driven by some anxiety we had around making sure we could secure people and drills. And my VP exploration, Gilles Dessereau, was like, we got to nail people down now. Like, I need the budget now. It can't wait. We want to lock this down. So we did a quickie financing, gave him the ability to go to the drill companies and say, like, look, we have a budget. Like, pay deposits, get this done, right? So that was good. Then we followed that up in early this year with an $13 million financing, which was upsized from $10 million, that brought in first the main lead order was Teck Resources, the world's third largest zinc miner, who was already a shareholder but topped up to over 9%. And then Ibera Capital out of Australia, a PE fund operated by some guys who are ex-Fortescue and BHP. And they topped up to just over 11%, which now makes them our largest shareholder. And then the third order, because there's only three orders initially to get us to $10 million, was a high net worth guy out of the U.S. Who's been a big supporter of us. We managed to upsize that to 13 in total. But that was a fortuitously timed placement, because the market collapsed shortly after we were wrapping it up. So we closed it at 70 cents with no warrant. And I think, less than a month after we had even announced it, we were trading at 50 odd cents because of, the market distress that dragged everyone down.
So, Brandon, there's a couple other news releases that came out in terms of acquiring these other projects. It happened throughout this year. The first one was announced back in May. That is staking of that Guyana River Zinc project. And then also the Mactungsten project that was announced in June 7th, just a couple days ago. How does this fit all into the strategy of, I guess, building out the portfolio of projects for the company?
Well, we consider ourselves fundamentally a critical minerals company, and that's our focus. And it's been an area that we've, for a while, been entertaining adding projects. The caveat was that we wanted to avoid really dilutive transactions, very expensive transactions. So we had to be opportunistic. We had to keep our eye open for things that the cost of entry was low, but the potential was high. And that's not easy, right? So that means that you need to be sharp and you need to move quick when it comes. So with Guyana River, that was ground that was open. So that cost us about $40,000 to stake. So in terms of a low cost of entry, that's as low as it's going to get, right? And that was driven by the fact that, Rio Tinto did a bunch of exploration there back in the 70s. And they put almost 30,000 meters in, and they delineated an exploration target that was quite significant. That they thought there could be sort of 50 million tons there of 6% zinc plus lead, and what they thought was a Mississippi Valley style carbonate hosted zinc deposit. But they eventually dropped it, and Eagle Plains owned it for a while, but who also eventually dropped it. But in 2018, a study was published by Liz Turner, an academic geologist, and Dave Broughton, who is former chief geologist for Ivanhoe. They compared the geology at Guyana River to Ivanhoe's Kipushi project, which is a real freak of nature zinc project in DRC. And that they're globally unique in terms of they're both these neoproterozoic reef systems. And there's only two places in the world that happens, and that part of NWT and that part of DRC. So this does not mean that just because they have that similarity that necessarily there is a Kipushi at Guyana River. And I mean, Kipushi is 10-ish million tons at 34% zinc. So it's very, very high grade. But we do know that if there is a Kipushi-like, mineralized body there, nothing Rio Tinto was doing would have found it. They just were not looking in the right places. They were not approaching it the right way. So, we've got a modest program this summer just to kind of go in and do some preliminary scoping and some gravity to look for signs that maybe there might be that kind of body there. So it's a low cost of entry, low risk, high potential reward project that made a lot of sense for us to pick up, and it was very opportunistic because the ground was open. But yeah, the second big one was Mactung. That's the big one.
Okay, thanks for taking us through those projects, how it fits into the strategy. You've already told us about the financing, and the company is now cashed up. So in terms of news flow, general time-wise, what can we expect out of the company?
Yeah, look, so when we picked up Mactung, that's a project that has a feasibility study on it, historic, that has a historic significant resource, making it, an absolute outlier in terms of size of grade, in terms of undeveloped tungsten projects. But we do probably need to refresh that resource and those economics. We won't go to a feasibility study and probably not even a pre-feas. It'll be a PEA possibly next year. But so we got to do that, right? So that's a real meaningful project. Unlike Guyana River, which was like, okay, low cost of entry may or may not be something. You know, the cost of entry for Mactung is more, but it's not that it may be something. It's that it is something. It's a very significant asset, right, with a lot of work done on it. But it was right there. It's contiguous with our Mac Pass claims. We think there's real operational synergies. So to us, it made sense to own it. And we didn't want to commit ourselves to taking on, you know, prescribed work programs or prescribed milestones. So we're masters of our own destiny of the work program there. But we are gonna inch it forward as we step forward with the Mac Pass project as well. So it means it's going to be a super busy year for us in the next year in terms of delivering these studies, right? Because you're looking at resource update, as I mentioned, at MacPass and an economic study at MacPass, but you've also got a resource update at Mactung and an economic study at Mactung. So there's a lot going on and possibly some sort of look at joint economics as well.
Okay, Brandon, I think that brings everybody up to speed. Just a nice quick overview of what the company was up to last year, what the plans are for this year, if anybody has any follow-up questions for Brandon regarding any of the work plans or any of these new projects, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get those addressed with you, and we'll get Brandon back on the back of some more news, as it sounds like news will be fairly steady throughout the rest of this year. Brandon, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for the update, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks very much, Corey.